Okay, good evening. We're continuing in Parashat Yitro, late night class to make up for our lack of classes this week. And because Yitro, thankfully Yitro is basically, the Parashat of Yitro is basically broken up into two sections. It is the meeting of Yitro with Moshe and the establishment of a court system, which is Yitro's doing. And then it is the Ten Commandments and the Bnei Israel's approach to Mount Sinai. So it's actually, unlike Bishalach, which we had five different parts of the parasha, there are two basic parts to look at from a more bird's eye point of view. We got up to the part where we said Yitro brings Moshe's family, and it's just a bit odd, the language. When he brings the kids to Moshe, he says, "I brought your wife with me and her two sons are with her." We analyze why that would be. We don't have a very good answer, but some we had some ideas as to what that would mean. And then now we're on Pasuk 7. Vayetzeh Moshe likrat choten. Oh, this is in chapter 18. Pasuk 7. Pasuk Zayin. Vayetzeh Moshe likrat choteno, vayishtachu, vayishaklo, vayishalu ish lere'ehu l'shalom, vayavohu ha'ohela. So Moshe goes out to greet or towards his father-in-law, and he bows and he kisses him, and they ask each other, one another, about their well-being, and they go into the tent, and they both go into the tent to discuss, obviously, more serious matters. By the way, one thing to notice about the Pasuk, Moshe does not acknowledge, or the text does not tell us of him acknowledging his family. Very odd, really strange. It seems like, what I think is one of the reasons for that is that Yitro, it's hard to get a grasp of how important a figure Yitro is. But it seems like he was a very, very well-respected man. Like maybe a leader, almost a quasi-leader of a nation, or at least a prince of another nation, because he's Yitro Kohen Midian. That's not a, you know, that description is not like just a simple description. It represents a man who has a lot of greatness. So what we're kind of seeing is Yitro is approaching his son-in-law, who has now reached a leadership position. And first of all, Yitro is going to take up all the oxygen in the room, or what's the phrase for that? He's going to be like the main presence there, you know, and on top of that, he's kind of, there's a reason Yitro feels the need to, which you will see he does, to educate Moshe as to how to build a good society. It's not just Yitro being presumptuous. It's Yitro learning from his own experience of being in a leadership position from his own country. So they go into the tent. Vayisaper Moshe lechotenu et kol asher asa Adonai lefaro u'mitzrayim al odot Yisrael. Moshe tells his father-in-law everything that God did to Paro and Mitzrayim on behalf of Israel. All of the et kol atila'a asher mitza'atam baderech v'atzilem Adonai, all of the difficulty that found them on the way and how God had saved them. Vayichad Yitro al kol atova asher asa Adonai l'Yisrael asher itzilo miyad Mitzrayim. Yitro became happy for all of the good that God did to Israel, that he had saved them from Egypt, or that he had saved Israel from Egypt. One of the commentaries, or one of the main midrashim, says, why is the parasha of Yitro following the parasha of Amalek? Because there are two responses of the Goyim to the success of the Jewish people, or to God's helping the Jewish people. One response is jealousy, and anger, and killing. And the other response is Yitro, which is happiness and joy. So Yitro represents the good of the Goyim. He doesn't make it into Am Yisrael yet, because we were going to see he leaves, but he represents the flip side to the Amalek response to Am Yisrael. Eventually, the family of Yitro is going to become like a quasi part of Am Yisrael. We see it in the story in Shofetim, in the story of Devorah, that there is a family from Chever HaKeni. The family of Chever HaKeni was in Israel, but they kind of were independent, and they had an alliance. In that case, they had an alliance with Yavin, the king of Hatzor, right? And then, and Sisera, the general, which I'm saying this because we had it in Haftarah recently, but Sisera, the general, felt comfortable going into the house of this Yael, the descendant of Yitro, or Chever, because they had a peace treaty with them. Meaning, they ended up coming into Am Yisrael, Yitro's family, but they weren't fully part of Am Yisrael. So it's an interesting dynamic there. Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Adonai, Asher Itzil Etchem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paro, Asher Itzil Et Ha'am Mitachat Yad Mitzrayim. Yitro says, blessed be God who saved you from the hand of Egypt and from the hand of Paro, that he saved the nation from under the hand of Egypt. Ata Yadati Ki Gadol Adonai Mikol Ha'Elohim Ki Vaddavar Asher Zadu Alehim. Now I know that God is greater than Mikol Ha'Elohim. Difficult translation. Now I know that God is greater than all of the gods. For the matter that they acted against them. Zadu is a difficult translation. I'm going to wait for Moshe to come back. It's actually an interesting pasuk. Let's give it a second. Yeah, I'm just going to read the translation. And Yitro said, "Blessed be God who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Paro, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." That's not a good translation. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for they dealt proudly against them." Nobody really knows the main difficulty in this pasuk are the words "Asher zadu alehim," for the matter that they acted against them. Now I know that God is greater than all the gods because of the matter that the enemies of Israel acted against the Jews and how God protected them. Something like that. But what's interesting about, why am I stopping on this pasuk? What's interesting about the pasuk? Ata yadati ki gadol Adonai mikol ha-Elohim. Now I know that God is greater than all of the Elohim. So first of all, it's an interesting contrast to Paro. Because Paro says, "Mi Adonai asher eshma bekolo." I don't even know, he doesn't even fit in my pantheon. Who is he? And now the response that Borei Olam wanted to engender with this whole process of taking Am Yisrael out of Egypt was that the nations of the world, and Yitro is a representative of that, will recognize that God is greater than all of their gods. Mikol ha-Elohim. Now the question here is Yitro saying this as, "Now I know that God is greater than all of the fake gods that the other nations believe in"? Or is he saying, "Now that I know that God is greater than all the gods," as in Yitro may not be Jewish yet, so he may still believe in a pantheon. This is also pasuk, by the way, there are midrashim, way back when you first met Yitro, there are midrashim that talk about how Yitro was engaged in a process of studying all of the gods and of trying to find which one is the truth and things like that. I have a feeling the midrashim are building off this pasuk. Because in this pasuk, it says, "Now I know that God is greater than all the gods." Now, if you're an astute reader and you're a midrashic reader, you'll say, "Who are all? How does he know every single god?" Well, it must have been that he was studying all the other gods or something. So that may be the source of
the midrash. Past religions or studies that he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
So but he can still refer to them as gods.
But so that's the question: is he referring to them as gods in the present also? Because right. To what extent is he a full monotheistic Jew? Or is he just someone who believes that Adonai is the greatest of the gods? We don't really know that about him yet. It's also, we won't be able to know. Anyways, let's just continue. A couple more psukim. Pasuk Yudbet, Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe ola uzvachim le'elohim, Vayavo Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael, Le'achol lechem im choten Moshe lifnei ha'elohim. And now Yitro took the father-in-law of Moshe, ola uzvachim le'elohim, an offering, an Olah offering, and sacrifices to God. And Aharon and all of the elders of Israel came to eat bread or to break bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before God. Now, who is missing from that pasuk? The pasuk says, yeah, it says, it's actually a very interesting pasuk because it says, Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, brought offerings and sacrifices to God, and Aharon and all the Zekanim came to eat with Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe. Now, it keeps referring to Yitro as the father-in-law of Moshe, but it doesn't say that Moshe was there. So it's actually a big question, because I think Ibn Ezra says that, no, of course he was there. The pasuk just doesn't have to tell us because it's understood. Now, he was already there. But that's not, it's also, the pasuk is also, it keeps mentioning that he's the father-in-law of Moshe, which also we know.
Right.
And it doesn't find like that's redundant. So why couldn't it tell us that Moshe was part of this? So I heard a fascinating interpretation from Leon Kass. And he said as follows, if you look at the, and this is a really good chidush, but he said, if you look at the trajectory of all of the parts of since the story of Amalek, what's the broader theme that starts from the story of Amalek and ends with Yitro in the next Aliyah helping Moshe establish a court system? The broader theme is that Moshe is learning to delegate responsibility. So what he claims is that, what is the responsibility that he's delegating in the war with Amalek? Being general of the army, fighting the battles, the physical warfare. Okay, what is the thing that he's delegating in the next Aliyah, in the court system, the judging of the people. And now, what could he possibly be delegating in this pasuk if Moshe is not there?
Sitting with leadership.
No, offering sacrifices, which is Aharon's job. So he says, here we see the first incident of Aharon offering a sacrifice and Moshe not being present. So that was the chidush. I think it's a beautiful chidush. And that you're seeing in these few parashiyot, a delegation of authority, where Amalek story is where he delegates war. In the story of Yitro doing offerings with Aharon, it's where he's delegating the ritual service. And then in the next Aliyah, we're going to see him delegate the judgment of the people. And that's the way it has to be. Because at the end of the day, Moshe is a special man, but the society can't run just by the word of one man alone. Okay, now let's read a little bit into the next Aliyah. There's also one great, really, really interesting chidush on the establishment of the court system and the deeper significance behind it. Okay, first I want to introduce, actually, before we even get there, there's a big debate as to when this story with Yitro happened. Because what does it tell us? What does the pasuk tell us?
After Yom Suf.
And it says, actually, that Yitro, where does he approach them? El ha-midbar asher hu chone sham har ha-Elohim. He came and he visited them in the midbar that they were dwelling there, or that Moshe was dwelling there, which was the mountain of God. Now, when do Bnei Israel go to the mountain of God?
To get the Ten Commandments.
To get the Ten Commandments. That's Har Ha'Elohim, is Har Sinai. And at this point, whenever we were attacked by Amalek, where was the city we were at? We were at a city called Rephidim, where there was no water. Right? There was a lack of water, and then Amalek came, and Rashi says it's because they complained about water that Amalek came. Uh-huh. So we're still at Rephidim. Now all of a sudden, we haven't gone to Har Sinai yet, because it's going to tell us whenever we go to Har Sinai. The text is going to tell us when we move to Har Sinai, when we go to Har Sinai. But Yitro is already meeting us at Har Sinai. So there's a big debate between Ramban and pretty much everyone else as to why is this pre or post the giving of the Torah? Could it be that Yitro has come already only after giving of the Torah, and the text for some reason wants us to have this story pre-giving the Torah? So assuming that it's not in chronological order, like most of the opinions, I think even Rashi says it's not in chronological order, you have to understand the reason that the Torah is putting the story before the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai. I think the reason may be that the reason may show up in this next Aliyah. Okay, so now Aliyah Sheni. Vayimi Machorat. The next day, Vayeshev Moshe lishpot et ha'am. Moshe was sitting to judge the people. Vayamod ha'am al Moshe min haboker ad ha'arev. And Moshe was standing, and the nation was standing up on Moshe, meaning waiting for judgment from Moshe, from the morning till the evening. Vayar choten Moshe et kol asher hu oseh la'am. And the father-in-law of Moshe saw everything that he was doing for the nation. Vayomer ma hadavar hazeh asher ata oseh la'am. He said, what is this thing that you're doing to the nation? Madua ata yoshev levadecha v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha min boker ad arev. Why are you sitting alone and all the nation is standing upon you from the morning until the night? Vayomer Moshe lechoteno, Moshe says his father-in-law, ki yavo elai ha'am nidrosh Elohim, when the nation is coming to seek judgment from me, when they have a matter, they come to me. And I judge between the friend and his companion. And then I teach them the laws of God and His instruction. The father-in-law of Moshe says, "This is not good what you are doing. You will surely wither, you and the nation that's with you, because it's a heavy matter." It's a difficult matter, you will not be able to do it alone. And then basically Yitro goes on to tell him, this is what you should do. You should pick people that are wise people, that are honest people, people of truth that hate bribes, and you should establish a court system in which they could handle the small matters, and then you could handle the big matters. Okay, so what is it? Why, if you were, let's say, if you wanted to think of a reason why this would be before Matan Torah, what would it be?
Slaves coming for judgment.
That's right. That's a classic. Rabbi Ton says that a lot. That's a very, very big chidush. The craziest thing about this, and Rabbi Ton, and Rabbi Ton's opinion, sometimes he'll open up his speech and say, this is the most important pasuk in the Torah. Right? What does the pasuk say? That the nation came and stood for judgment from the morning until the night. Now, you have to appreciate what that means, because we're talking about a slave people. A slave people that we know can get pretty rowdy. But when it comes to the law or civil disputes between one another, they're not right. Might is right. They're not beating each other up in order to get what they want. They're coming and standing before Moshe in line to hear the law.
All day.
All day.
And that slave mentality is to like...
Right, they're slaves. The slave mentality, the slave mentality is might is right. Is when the master wants something from me, if I don't do it, I get struck. And that's what a slave thinks is the way interpersonal relationships should be. So then we see all of a sudden in this pasuk that they're coming and standing for judgment. It's a pretty big praise of Am Yisrael, which may be the hint as to why they are worthy of receiving the Torah. It's because they seek the law. They wanted law. So that may be one of the reasons this part is put before. Another reason is put before is to introduce us, and this is maybe even a deeper chidush, is to introduce us to the way Borei Olam wants law to be distributed. So let's, and this is what we're going to close the class with. But let's say you're Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're sitting, and people are coming to you, case by case. And Moshe himself professes, and he says that they're coming to me, and I'm teaching them the law of God and His instruction, right? And I'm doing this on a case-by-case basis. So what is happening? Two people come to Moshe. They have a dispute. Moshe says, this dispute, the answer is as follows, because of this reason. Okay? So the people, those two people, they got their dispute resolved, but they also learned a little bit. They learned a little principle, or at least the micro principle that applies to their specific case. Now the next person, also, he has a case that's slightly different, right? Maybe he could have inferred the solution to his case from the first case, but he doesn't know what happened in the first case. So he's coming and he has to ask the same question again. So Moshe is teaching him the micro law that applies to his case. Okay? So what does Yitro realize about that's the problem about that? What's the problem in that situation? Besides for the fact that it's unbearably tiring.
You have to do it forever.
Well, yeah, you have to do it forever. So there's an unlimited amount of, because every case is going to be different. But there's another problem with that. And the problem is that it concentrates too much power in the hands of one man. While Moshe is the perfect arbiter of God's word, let's say you continue the system in which there is one man. In fact, in Plato, I think it's in his book, The Republic, he describes the God king as the kind, as like, or the philosopher king as the perfect leader. And basically the idea is one man has all the knowledge and he can instruct society as to the, and to the details of the society, how it's supposed to operate. Now, this seems to be like the model that Moshe is doing by default, meaning before he realized that he has to open up and do a court system, that seems to be the model. And the model is problematic, not only because it's impossible to sustain, but also because the people end up not knowing anything. The people know small details of cases only when they're instructed in their specific case, but it's not. But all of the knowledge is concentrated in that one man who knows all the information. So now Yitro comes and he raises the issue that this is not a good system because nobody's going to know any information or they're not going to have any principles in their head. So what's the solution to this? So you create a court system that can distribute the law to more people, and then you also have to teach the people the principles of the law so that maybe they can even kind of resolve some of their disputes on their own. So first Yitro is instructing Moshe that first you have to kind of decentralize all the information away from the person that's sitting at the top, which is Moshe. And then the ultimate dissemination or the decentralization of information is that what is what?
Torah.
Is Am Yisrael all learning the Ten Commandments from God's mouth at Har Sinai. And that now all of a sudden works backwards. Now all of a sudden we're starting with Ten Commandments, which are basically the tenets of how to either interact with one another or how to relate to God, meaning the most basic, the fundamental hierarchies in terms of our relation to God, plus our interpersonal relationships with people, other people. And those are the fundamentals and the foundations of everything. Mm-hmm. And the people all have to know that. The people all have to be educated. And then once it comes, you work, and then you lay the ground, the foundation for those people. And now if they have disputes that build on those principles, they work upwards. So in order to understand how those principles are applied, they can go to the many judges that are in the area. But if one person holds all information, it's not a good system. So it's an interesting thing that the Torah, the highest value of the Torah is for universal education. And that's because this education is empowering. when there's an asymmetry in the amount of knowledge between the leader and the people, that also creates an opportunity. It creates a vacuum for power. It could become an abuse of power. But the Torah wants everybody to be educated. It wants the knowledge and the power to be decentralized, and everybody should have equal access to the law, and everybody should have that knowledge. So I think that could be a lot of what we're learning from the story of Yitro and how it's a precursor to the story of Har Sinai. Be'ezrat Hashem, on tomorrow, actually, we're going to start Perek Yutet, where it talks about whenever Bnei Yisrael come to Har Sinai, and we're going to start the process of receiving the Ten Commandments. Baruch Adonai Olam.
Amen. 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 Amen.